Welcome to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes. And if you enjoy this topic, head on over to myministrymission.com to find out how to join our community or even become a guest. God has placed a calling to ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell. Today, I have a truly special conversation ahead. My guest is Doralyn Moore, a Canadian author, lay pastor, and Bible study leader who has spent a lifetime walking closely with Jesus and pointing others towards him. She holds a Master's of Education from the University of Toronto and gave over 30 years of her life to social work, serving some of the most vulnerable people in Toronto before retiring and pouring that same compassion into writing. Since 2019, Doralyn has published four contemporary Christian fiction novels. Each one is a story designed not just to entertain, but to invite readers into a living encounter with the God who saves and who keeps his promises. Her debut, 70x7, earned a five-star review from Literary Titan, and her Victory series has continued that legacy of faith-filled storytelling. And a fifth novel is on its way this summer. As usual, you will find all of the important information about Doralyn in the show notes, and I encourage you to visit her website and social media. She is a woman who doesn't just write about the goodness of God, she lives it, and I can't wait for you to meet her. So welcome, Doralyn. I'm so happy to have you on my podcast.
I am so happy to be here, Jason.
That's wonderful. I love to give the listeners an opportunity to get to know my guest, and I like to start with the favorite Bible verse. And you sent me Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So how does this speak to you?
It speaks to me. Light and darkness. Before we know Jesus, we don't have the light of his life inside of us. And when we invite him into our lives, he brings light because he said he's the light of the world. And the first words that God spoke when he created the universe was, "Let there be light." And the fact that when we come to know Jesus, he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light is a total transformation. I just guess I like the picture that it puts in my mind.
Love that. That's a wonderful answer. I love that. So you live in kind of a small community east of Toronto.
Right.
How does that community shape your storytelling, or has it?
I'm not sure that the community where I live now has, but my work, previous work has shaped my writing because I worked with a diverse population of different types of people from all walks of life. And not specific people, but bits and pieces of different people find their way into my stories.
I love that. What a wonderful way to honor, what's going on, in the work that you've done, for sure. So you spent 30 years in social services before retiring to full-time writing.
That's right.
That's a lot of time to spend in that work. What did that teach you about people and about God?
It just magnifies the fact that everyone needs the Lord. No matter what walk of life they come from, where we've come from, whether we come from wealth or poverty or something in between, whether we're educated or not educated, we need Jesus because I believe that there's a God-shaped hole in each of our lives that can only be filled with Jesus.
That's an interesting visual, a God-shaped hole. It's And, you know, having come to Christ later in life, I spent many of my years chasing things to fill that hole, and it was just never good enough. I imagine you've run into that a lot.
Yes, people try. I mean, people try everything to. I think that the enemy deceives us. Satan deceives us, saying, "Oh, this is what you need." You know, and he entraps us. Things that start out innocently often end up in trouble, and he tries to entrap us. And what we really need is the freedom that only Christ can give us.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because people who are not in the faith or not living for Christ, they talk about wanting to live freely, but they're not. They're in bondage, right?
Exactly. And it says to, you know, the scripture says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it's only his truth that can set us free. I know today truth is very relative. Your truth isn't my truth. And, you right. know, so that makes truth, it's not an absolute anymore. But Jesus is the truth.
And he is an absolute truth, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
So your blog seems wonderful. It goes back to about 2021, if I'm not mistaken. And you post pretty consistently every month. So when you sit down to write a devotional, how do you kind of synthesize, or how do you know what God is trying to ask you to say for that post?
That's a good question. Sometimes it's really difficult. And I have to ask. I say, Lord, what do you want to go into my next blog? Sometimes I get ideas from other people, like I read things that they write, and then the Lord will give me a seed and I can build off that. Sometimes it's just something that's on my heart. I think often things that are on my heart is about the words that we say and how important they are. By your words are you justified, and by your words you are condemned. And so what comes out of our mouth is important, and that we can decree our future. We are the only species, so to speak, that has the ability of language. I know animals communicate, but they can't say words like we do. And God has given that us, that ability. And when we have his spirit living in us, then we can communicate his word to other people. So things that we say to me or say are really important.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I know for this podcast, I've had inspiration come from some of the strangest moments. I had a while back, I was taking my daughter to school, and she'd asked me, out of the blue, she goes, Dad, what would you say to an atheist? Mm. And I'm like, that is a really good question. I'm going to have to think about that. And I built a whole episode out of that.
Wow.
But it's just, you know, from the mouth of the babes, if you will. But that's wonderful. I love that. Before we jump in, what is really important for the listeners to know about you?
The important thing to know, I think, for listeners to know is that I have lived 3/4 of a century. I can't believe it.
Congratulations.
And throughout my life, I came to know Jesus as like a 5-year-old girl. And I dedicated my life to him at around 13. And he has never failed me. He is faithful. He is true. And he keeps his promises. That doesn't mean that life has always been easy, but he's taken me through the tough parts.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, we can move kind of into talking about faith a little bit. You mentioned when you were 13, you dedicated your life to serve Jesus and you were baptized. And I mean, what was it that made it feel like that was the time to go all in?
I don't know. The Holy Spirit just came, spoke to me, and he spoke to me strongly that this is something that I wanted to do. I wanted to give my life to him, to serve him and to to love him. It had to have been the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's weird how I call it nudging. Sometimes he nudges us towards things and we finally get there and we're like, how did I get here? What?
And I can ask you that question. What brought you to the Lord?
You know, that's a really good question. I love that you're asking me questions. So in the pandemic, things were scary. Things were scary. There were unknown millions. You know, every day, everywhere you turned was an announcement about how many people had died. And I, you know, my daughter was younger at that time, and I wanted to be strong for her. But I was feeling, you know, you see the supermarkets, stores, shelves were empty in some areas. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to go to my mailbox because maybe I touched something that gets me infected. It was just really scary. And I knew, I just had this feeling, this calling that I needed something bigger than me. And the only thing that I could think of was going to find a God-centered community. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even what you'd call a believer then, but I sought one out, and that happened at the most bizarre way. It was just, I sent emails and reached out, and nobody really got back to me, or when they did, it was some weird form letter. And then 8 p.m. on a random day, the lead pastor at the church that I'm at now hit me up on Facebook Messenger because his email wouldn't let him send an email to me, so he sought me out. He
wow.
Went, left the 99 to find the one, and
praise the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful.
It is. I love it. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell. But anyways, let's get back to you because you're the focus today. You and God. The theme of your books seem, you know, and I haven't read them, but they seem to kind of tie together the theme of trusting in the goodness and faithfulness of God. And
yes,
you know, when you know, and this is kind of ties into what we were just talking about. When you come across somebody who's never seen him that way, how do you first introduce them to the God that you know?
I think the best way is by personal testimony. They can't argue with a personal testimony. Like when I can tell them of, you know, when my husband nearly died. And we prayed and we spoke life into him and the Lord brought him back. They can't come again. They can't deny that, you know. If I put out an argument, they can come back with a counter argument, but they can't go against something that's actually happened in my life. And I think that's a good way to talk to people about the goodness and faithfulness of God.
I love that. It kind of ties into Acts 1 verse 8 when Jesus tells him, you will be my witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and you're right. You know, if you say this is what God has done to me, this is what Jesus has done for me, then they can't argue that.
No, they don't have to listen, but they can't argue it because that's part of it.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think we all know that God's goodness is easy to celebrate when everything's going our way. But when you've walked through loss, you know, how do you coach someone to hold on to the truth of the goodness of God when circumstances seem to scream otherwise?
It's a good question. It gets down to, do I believe the word of God? You know, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me and you comfort me and you prepare a place for me. Do we really believe that? Whenever I've been in a difficult situation, even like my husband died in 2022.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we've been married 51 years, so and we started dating when I was 16. So that's a long time to know somebody.
It is.
Yes, and so, but the Lord, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't painful, and sometimes it still is very painful, but God is with me. I know because his word says that he'll be a husband to the widows and a father to the orphan. And he has been. He has looked after me. Things, you know, you have to take over everything that your husband used to do. He's led me step by step. And I couldn't do it without him.
That's wonderful. And you've led Bible studies for many years. Is there a particular question you hear from most groups when it comes to God's promises or anything we've talked about?
I think it's mostly, like you say, Jason, from the time, like when we're in difficult situations and we receive a promise from God's word about whatever situation. And I think that God's word, whatever situation, yet we can always find a promise to stand in. From the time the situation starts to the time we get the answer is the time that we're most tempted to waver on the word of God and on that promise he's given us. And what did Satan say to Adam and Eve? He said, "Has God said?" And that's when we're in that stage, when we're waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, he comes to us and tells us God doesn't love us. He tells us God isn't faithful. He might have answered you before, but he's not going to this time. And that's when we have to say, "Get lost, Satan," because I am choose to stand on the word of God. That's what I've learned over all these years.
That's the armor of God right there.
Exactly. Exactly.
So one quick question, then we'll move. I want to talk about your books. What would you say to somebody right now who's been waiting a long time to come through on something? You know, they're in that period of waiting, and they're starting to wonder, have I been forgotten?
It says we will be victorious if we don't faint. And so my word to them would be, do not faint. Do not give up. Keep standing. And I know it's not easy, and you especially, and you have to, I think it's, you know how the Christian life is the fight of faith. It's described in the scriptures as the fight of faith, and that's where the fight comes in, where we have to come against those voices that tell us, keep whispering. They whisper that God isn't faithful. That's when we have to come against those voices and proclaim, I choose to stand on his word and his promises. Sometimes, Jason, I've even drawn an imaginary line on my floor, and I've stood on that line. And on the left side is, God isn't faithful. And on the right side is, he is faithful. And I have taken, and I have stepped to my right, and I've stepped down hard. And I say out loud, I choose to believe that God is faithful. So it's almost like a physical thing I'm doing in making my decision. I'm going to trust God.
And I am going to try that. I know, you know, so my sister passed away in June of last year. She had a 5-year battle with cancer. And that was, I described that as my first real test of faith, because I found myself not praying or doing the things that I thought I would be doing when I was sitting by her side in her last moments. I was just sitting there in sadness. And then you start to question and fight with God and yell at him and be angry, be betrayed, and all these emotions come out. And what I took away from that is, if you are taking all of those emotions and you're directing them at God, he can handle that, and you're still moving towards him. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And anyways, he knows what we're thinking anyway.
He does. So
we can't fool him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I love this. So your books, your debut novel, 70 times 7, came out in 2021. And I really love that title. That is just such a wonderful, wonderful title. I was wondering how you came up with that, and kind of give us an idea of what that story is about.
Well, I came up with, yes, and Peter asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive? And Peter said 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. So that's where it comes from, the scripture, for the anyone who's, who isn't familiar with that. And I had a problem forgiving my father. My father did not abuse me physically or sexually, but my father had severe dyslexia. He was a very brilliant man, but I remember him asking my mom once, how do you spell the? I mean, he had trouble with his brain. And that came up. Sometimes he got frustrated and he would get angry. And I internalized that anger. And so that meant we didn't have a good relationship. I was afraid sometimes when he got angry. And I feel sad that we didn't get it worked out before he died. But afterward, the Lord really convicted me about forgiving him. And I've come to the place where I have forgiven him. And I know that I'll see him one day in heaven and we'll be reunited again. But that's the backstory. And the story is of in the book is of a young woman who lives in Mexico. And she is physically and sexually abused by a stepfather. And she runs away. She actually comes illegally into Canada, into Toronto. And of course, we have to have a love story.
Of course.
And we have a young man who has accidentally, it was manslaughter. He accidentally killed someone. So he's dealing with that. And it's, of course, it's how they meet each other and how they come to know the Lord. And it's kind of a bumpy ride that they have, but the Lord is faithful. And of course, all things have to work out in the end.
Chris, yeah, no, and I love the backstory, the 70 times seven, because when that was presented, when he said, what, seven times? That was generous back then. If you look at, you know, ancient Jewish culture, three times was about the max. So for him to go seven, he's doubling what he already knew was fair. And Jesus is like, no, not even close.
I know. And I think I just have been learning so much about forgiveness and how if we don't forgive, it can cause bitterness. And it actually can make us physically sick. And it doesn't really hurt the person who's wronged us. It's us that are getting hurt by our holding on to the bitterness and the anger.
Yeah. And I use the analogy, I've heard it all the time, but it's like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies.
Exactly. Yep.
So after your debut, you launched the Victory Series with Hope Doesn't Disappoint and then Abundance of Grace and I believe Cause to Triumph.
That's right.
You know, at a high level, what is that series about in that trilogy?
It's about a family. It initially starts with a mother and a husband who have two young daughters. And the mother gets caught. She has a good job. She has a nice husband. She has two great kids. And she gets caught up in a gambling addiction. And eventually, she ends up losing everything. And she ends up living out of her car. And one night on a dark street, she tries to commit suicide. And it's her journey back and how she comes to know Christ. And then the next book follows, a number of years later, and her daughter, who was younger, has now just completed university. And Cassie is the protagonist, the mother, and she finds out that her daughter's had an abortion. And it brings back to her the fact that at 16, she had a an unplanned pregnancy, and she put a child up for adoption. And the Lord tells her to go back and find that daughter. And it's about finding her, and that the daughter isn't that happy to see her, and how the Lord brings them together. And then the third story is about the daughter again, and how she is really hostile toward God. And she and her boyfriend is on a trip to Las Vegas, decide to get married. And it's about how he gets, he's a CPA, and he finds out that one of his clients is money laundering, and the client is connected with the mob, and he has to testify in court against this guy, I really got into the a hit is put on his life.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and they end up running, and I won't tell you anymore.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
So your novels cover some really difficult life situations: abuse, brokenness, abortion, addiction, mafia hits. How do you handle that content so that it still clearly points to hope and redemption?
Because I think nothing is too big for the Lord. Excuse me, and his redemption.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's wonderful. It sounds like you have a lot of fun writing these books too.
Oh, I do. I do. And sometimes it can be frustrating thinking about ideas.
Oh, I'm sure. So I think you mentioned somewhere that your prayer for every reader is that they'll consider seriously the life-changing news of salvation through Christ. Has anyone ever actually reached out to you and said, hey, one of your books really played a big role in my coming to faith?
No, that hasn't. And I really wish that, that's the prayer of my heart. But so far I haven't received. People said they've been touched and they've identified very much with some of the characters, but they haven't said they've come to know the Lord. But I'll tell you, Jason, I sold the book in a well-known coffee shop here in Canada. It's called Tim Hortons, and just to a lady, she saw, I had the book with me, and she bought it. She's a lady I don't think would ever come to church, but when she reads that book, she's going to read about how to be saved, and so I'm really praying that it will draw her to the Lord.
Like that. Yeah, and you never know. I mean, your book could be one of many steps along the way. Of somebody coming to the Lord.
Exactly.
So just because somebody hasn't come to you personally doesn't mean it's not happening. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk about your newest novel coming out this summer. What hints, trailers can you give us about what God has put in your heart for this one?
Well, it's about a lady who's 72 years old and she's a widow. She recently lost her husband. And she gets over the internet, she gets a friend request from a man. And she knows she probably shouldn't accept it, but she does. And she develops a relationship with this man over the internet. And he tells her how much he loves her and that she's wonderful. And you get the gist of where this is going. And she gives her, it gets her into a lot of trouble and a lot of hurt.
Oh, boy.
And really, there's a man in her church that's right under her nose that would be somebody that would be suitable for her, but she doesn't have any eyes for him. But God works it out between the two of them.
That's wonderful. That'll be fun. That's fun. Do you have any?
Sorry, do I have any ideas?
Yeah, plans for anything beyond this fifth book? Is there like a theme that God's calling you to write, or any ideas?
I think all my books just have the same theme that it's about God drawing people to Himself and the different ways that He uses to draw people to Himself. I think that's the basic theme in my books.
I love it.
And that God is he's a creative God. He can come up, you know, He has many different ways. Like just with you, He has many different ways to draw us to Himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll have, all you have to do is open the door just a crack. And He'll take it from there, I promise.
I agree. I so agree. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So this has been such a treat. I appreciate your time. I am excited. I'm actually excited about your books. I want to go look them up and maybe put them in my library here soon. I'm sure the listeners appreciate it too. And you have a wonderful understanding of Scripture, and I love how everything ties back to Scripture. Do you have any final thoughts, any last words for the listeners?
Just love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Be in His Word every day. I can't tell you how important the Word of God is. And as it says that the Word is active, it's living. And as you read the Word of God, it will change you and it will make you more like Jesus. And so just be in God's Word, and that way you'll grow in Him. That's my prayer for your listeners. First of all, that they'll come to know Jesus, and then that they'll be in His Word.
I love it. This has been such a rich and meaningful conversation. You have just such a joyful presence about you. It's so much fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Somebody listens to this, it's going to stay with the listeners long after they press pause. The way you talk about God's goodness, not as a theological concept, but as something you've staked your life on, it's exactly the kind of testimony I hope to carry on this podcast. So I appreciate all your wisdom.
Well, that's great. And you're really easy to talk to. You do good, you know, I really enjoy. I thought this will be fun because, Jace, you're easy. You're easy to talk fun. To.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So if you are listening to this, today's episode stirred something in your heart, I want to encourage you to do two things. First, go pick up one of Dorland's novels, or all of them, whatever. Whether you start with 70x7 or jump into the Victory series, I feel like you're going to find yourself in the company of characters whose stories point you in the right direction, back to Jesus. I have put all the links in the show notes, so be sure to grab those. You know, more information about Dorland, where to find the books, all of that goodness will be in there. And now, if you've never truly settled on the question of God's faithfulness in your life, if you're in that season where you're wondering whether He's even still there, I hope today has planted a seed God will water and make it grow and get you to where you need to be, because He is waiting for you on the other side. And during that period of quietness, He's still working, even though it doesn't seem like anything's happening. So keep the faith. Don't give up on God. Keep going. Dorland, thank you so much for your time, your wisdom, your joy. May God bless you.
The same to you.
And then for the listeners, until next time, keep loving your neighbors. Dive into God's Word daily. May the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with His peace. Take care. God bless. And I'll see you in the next one. You've been listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, hosted by me, Jason McConnell. If today's episode spoke to you, I'd love for you to like, follow, or subscribe me on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss what's next. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes for links and resources from today's conversation. And my prayer for you is this: keep walking with Christ, trusting His plan, and living out the mission God has placed in your heart.